A lot of football over the weekend, and now we have the NFC and AFC Conference Championships set for this Sunday. Let's say hi to our good friend Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider and Michigan grad. We knew him when. Hello. How are you, Adam? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Mitch. How you doing?
I bet you're glad you're not covering the Michigan Wolverines right now, like your days at the Daily.
Well, I wasn't sophisticated enough back in the day to understand everything that would be going on with the program right now. There's a lot.
And
of
yet, once again, Jim Harbaugh finds his way into your orbit, because there was for a stretch of time some talk that he might go to the NFL. Now, you're on the NFL side of it. Was there any legitimate interest in him? Could he have had a job if he really wanted it with any of these open teams?
I think there was curiosity on his part, and I think that he explored it, and I think that Denver was legitimately interested in him. Yeah, I think that was something that was real. It was not fabricated. Just like last year, he went to Minnesota, and I think a lot of people thought it would end up with him getting that job. And the talks never really advanced while he was there. It kind of seemed to go in place, and they wound up hiring Kevin O'Connell. And I think that there could have been something with Denver if he wanted to take it further. But he decided, for whatever reason, that he didn't want to do that. And so it was thwarted there. And obviously, he decided to go back to Michigan.
It wasn't a case of Denver talked to him, and then because they didn't really express any deeper interest, he decided,
no.
All right, I'm staying at Michigan.
No, that was definitely not it. And okay. I remember speaking to the Broncos that day. They were surprised that he basically backed out, you know, because I think he would have been square in the mix for that job.
Interesting. Okay, the four teams that we have left, Kansas City and Cincinnati on the AFC side, and Philadelphia and San Francisco on the NFC side. Let me ask you first about Kansas City. So Patrick Mahomes got, I think, significantly injured with his ankle yesterday. He had to leave the game. Then at halftime, they did whatever they did, probably the little magic injection that nobody wants to talk about in the NFL. And he finished the game. But now and tomorrow are going to be the days that you start to wonder how serious it is. Is there a chance that they may have to play the championship game without him?
I don't think so. I mean, I expect him to be out there. I don't think he's going to be 100%. I think his mobility will be compromised. And you saw on Saturday, he left the game, came back in, and really, I think, was limited in his movement, and some of his throws were affected by the injury that he sustained. And I can't imagine that he's just going to go out there on Sunday and be just like Patrick Mahomes would always be with
no.
Running around, making plays with his feet and his arm. Like, this is not going to happen. Is he going to be out there? Absolutely. Is he going to play? Would Patrick Mahomes miss this game? I cannot imagine that. I just can't. Now, again, his mobility will be affected. He will not be 100%, but he will be out there.
Hey, Adam, you know this game was almost at a neutral location at Buffalo to one. And I've been hearing rumors. Do you think they're going to end up eventually having neutral sites for these championship games?
That's a good question. I think part of the incentive of the regular season is to have that be the case. Now, if they changed it to a neutral site, what's the incentive of the regular season? You win the division and what? You're still playing neutral site.
Well,
right?
Plus, what's the upside or
money.
What's the justification
money.
For a neutral site?
Money.
Why is there more money?
Money, because you can sell sites, like you can sell it to Detroit 1 year, you can sell it to Atlanta 1 year. It'll make more money.
Oh, come on. They don't need more money, Kenny.
Did you see how fast the game sold out if it would have been in Atlanta this year?
So I guarantee it sold out that fast in Kansas City, and it would have sold out that fast in Cincinnati or Buffalo or wherever it is. Like that. They don't need more interest in tickets for that game. That's not something they need.
No. Another conspiracy theory by Ken Brown
down. This wasn't
the grassy knoll of NFC championships.
Before I get blamed for this, this was all in the papers today, and this was on Pro Football Talking. To us when this is the NFL's plan in the way. I know. I'm just saying.
Oh,
Pro
Football Talk.
It's been out there.
I see no reason, no justification, no nothing. This was a freak thing. You know, they had a terrible event happen. They had to cancel the game, and then they got stuck with an uneven balance of a season. That happens like once in a lifetime. I don't see any future in any of this stuff. Let me jump over to before I get off the AFC, I was remarking before you came on, Adam, yeah, so much of NFL football to me is when you get hot, yep, at the right time.
Yep.
You know, and if you just get on the right roll, and it just seems to me that Cincinnati is that team this year.
They've won 10 straight games. Joe Burrow doesn't care if he's playing in Buffalo or Kansas City or Atlanta or Arizona or wherever he plays. He doesn't care who he's playing. He truly believes that he's going to win every game. And I don't know. You know, look, all these players are confident. Don't get me wrong. They all think, many of them think they're the greatest. Like, this guy has a certain swagger to him that I haven't seen on too many players.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Like, he just oozes confidence and charisma and coolness. Coolness. Yeah. Joe Montana won his first Super Bowl in his third year, and this is Joe Burrow's third year. Would you be shocked if he went to Kansas City and won his fourth straight playoff game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and then won in the Super Bowl? I would not be. Like,
no. And in fact, you know, they almost had it last year, and they were there, and they were thwarted by the Rams.
Should have had
the Rams.
It. Should have had it. Yeah.
Yeah, but only in the last, the Rams only won that game in the last, you know, minutes. So you could.
And there was a controversial call. It was in Los Angeles. The Rams were the home team. Like, they almost and should have overcome and didn't. And by the way, if they had won that game, and then maybe it would have changed the course of the season. Some maybe, of course, but. But if they'd won that game and they're going for their second straight year, wow.
Yeah.
The conversation would be a little bit different.
Yeah. But very quickly, yesterday went from Buffalo being the cream of the AFC to Cincinnati. So we'll see what happens there. Now, let me jump over to the other side, the NFC. Okay, Brock Purdy, first of all, when he won his first playoff game last week, it was the first time that it had happened since Russell Wilson back in like 2013. That was funny. Crazy enough. Now he wins another one against a good Dallas team and a really good Dallas defense without making any mistakes. What is this kid playing himself into? Because if they win the NFC Championship and he goes to a Super Bowl, how do you get rid of him?
Back to the bench.
Mitch, I don't care if they don't win again this season. He's their quarterback going forward. Like, he's their guy.
He is.
He's their guy.
So Jimmy Garoppolo out, Trey Lance out,
they traded three
Brock
first round
Purdy
picks for.
Brock Purdy in.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent. He'll leave during free agency this winter because there'll be another team that offers him a starting job. Trey Lance might be a good quarterback one day, but Brock Purdy stepped in. I think he's won seven games now. Seven games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't turn over the football. I'll tell you, I mean, this is true. And it's easy to say this now, but you could ask the people I was speaking to. Like, I watched him over the summer, and I remember calling some 49ers people, and I said, there aren't many rookie quarterbacks who I've watched in the preseason who popped to me. Now, again, I don't study X's and O's. I don't pretend to know X's and O's like that, but I'm watching in the preseason, and I remember when I watched Russell Wilson, which is why I laughed when you said that, as a rookie, like in the preseason, he popped. Dak Prescott in the preseason, he popped. And Brock Purdy in the preseason, also popped. And I remember talking to the 49ers about that this summer, and they're like, yeah, you got to see this guy during camp. Like, this guy's just got it. The guys believe in the guy. He carries himself with a certain sense of calmness and confidence. Also, really like him. And then Trey Lance gets hurt, and Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and they have no choice but to stick the guy in there. And everything that they thought he was in the preseason and in drills, he turns out to be in the games. And I don't think we've ever seen a rookie quarterback start a conference championship game. I don't think we've never seen a Mr. Irrelevant go on to do what this guy's doing. He's basically, to me, he's won that job no matter what happens. Right? He threw about five picks on Sunday. He's
their
guy.
Once again, then speaks to how for all their brilliance and all their preparation, the draft is such a crapshoot because this guy was the last player taken in the draft. How many total picks are there? 200 and something or another? 270 something?
He was 262.
262nd pick. and he could go to a Super Bowl. It's crazy. Next thing you know, you'll be telling me people who are helping authors write books like Bo and Fab Five was going to end up as an ESPN analyst. It's never going to happen.
Well, I've been irrelevant for a long time in my life, Mick. So,
Irrelevant.
We've seen Mr. Irrelevance emerge to, you know, just kind of like get on the scene at least. So it's happened before.
You were never irrelevant. Adam Schefter from ESPN. Thank you for joining us, Adam. Always a pleasure.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Talk to you, Mick.
Back with more on 760 WJR.